Okay, let's unpack this. If you're, deep in the music scene, or even if you just use a VPN for privacy, you probably had a really frustrating time back in mid-December.
Oh, for sure.
For days, you were just hitting these constant, confusing 403 forbidden errors trying to get onto SoundCloud. It didn't feel like a normal outage.
It didn't. It felt deliberate. And you weren't wrong to feel that way. That kind of connectivity failure, especially one hitting encrypted traffic so specifically, was a massive red flag.
It told you something was up.
It suggested that SoundCloud wasn't just dealing with a server glitch. They were basically in the middle of an emergency defense.
Right. And those 4 days of disruption, which cut off so many legitimate users, that turned out to be the first sign of a huge security breach that SoundCloud finally confirmed on December 15th, 2025.
A massive one.
So today we're doing a deep dive into exactly that. Our mission is to understand the scope. We're talking 28 million accounts compromised, and to identify the attackers, the notorious shiny
And
hunters.
most importantly, the technical side of it.
Exactly. We're going to tear apart the vulnerability that let them walk away with data from almost a fifth of SoundCloud's users, the overlooked ancillary service dashboard.
This is such a textbook example of modern digital risk. And it goes way beyond just the music industry. 20% of a user base is, I mean, that's a huge number.
It's huge.
And the kind of data they took makes this one of the most significant exposures in, like, the entire entertainment tech sector for 2025. If your business or your creative work lives on a cloud platform, which is basically everyone now, this is a critical lesson.
So let's start with that initial chaos. Before any news broke, we had 4 days where tons of users, specifically VPN users, just couldn't get on. They couldn't stream, couldn't access their
You
account.
saw it all over Reddit, right? People were blaming their VPNs, thinking they were being throttled.
Or that SoundCloud was blocking them for some reason.
Right. And what's fascinating here is that immediate clash between security and just, being able to use the service. SoundCloud's incident response team saw unauthorized activity happening.
Somewhere inside their systems.
Exactly. So their job is to contain it immediately. They triggered emergency protocols, and that meant rolling out sweeping configuration changes to block the IP addresses tied to the attack.
So they basically slammed the door shut, but in doing so, they caught a bunch of innocent users in that door.
Precisely. They likely used really aggressive IP filtering. It was probably necessary to stop the data from being pulled out, but those kinds of blunt tools, they have massive false positive rates.
So legitimate VPNs got caught in the net.
They got blocked because their connections can come from IP ranges that sometimes look like attacker proxies. That 403 error, forbidden, that tells you everything. The server was explicitly denying your request.
And as if that wasn't bad enough, after they started putting these fixes in place, the platform got hit with denial of service attacks, DDoS
Which
attacks.
just compounded everything.
It knocked the service offline for everyone temporarily.
And that secondary attack is such a crucial point. It shows the cascading effects, but it also tells you a lot about the attacker's sophistication.
Yeah.
That wasn't random.
It was timed.
It was timed. A big DDoS attack right after a breach is often a coordinated move. It does two things. First, it ramps up the public pressure on the company, makes them more likely to pay an extortion demand.
In second.
It distracts and overloads the security team, who are already completely swamped dealing with the initial breach. It's a classic diversion.
So the digital version of setting a fire in the back while you rob the front.
You got it.
Okay, that paints a really clear picture of the chaos. Now let's get into the specifics of what data was actually taken. SoundCloud called it limited in scope.
The classic corporate phrase.
All right. The really good news, the crucial part, is that sensitive financial data and encrypted password hashes were secure. They weren't touched.
And that is massive. It means this wasn't an immediate path to, taking over accounts or direct financial fraud. Their core systems, the crown jewels, they were properly secured.
The bad news, what was compromised was around 28 million user email addresses. And that was coupled with all the publicly visible profile info.
So we're talking usernames, profile descriptions, follower counts.
All your track listings, track names, metadata, everything.
And this is where that limited in scope language is so misleading, even dangerous. While the financial data is safe, those email addresses are, I mean, they're gold on the dark web. They are the foundation of the entire cybercriminal economy.
But the real threat comes when you combine that email with the profile data, right? Because now a criminal knows your creative interests, your genre, maybe who you collaborate with.
Exactly. It lets them move from just general phishing to highly targeted spear phishing. Imagine you get an email. It looks like it's from SoundCloud support, but it mentions your specific track, Midnight Algorithm Remix, by name.
And it says there's a copyright issue or something.
Right, a copyright issue, and you need to log in to fix it. That level of personalization just destroys your natural suspicion. It weaponizes trust. For a professional creator, that kind of targeted attack is incredibly difficult to spot.
Which brings us to who is behind it. SoundCloud was, you know, pretty tight-lipped, but cybersecurity sources quickly pointed to the Shiny Hunters extortion gang.
Shiny Hunters has been a huge name since about 2020. They're a financially motivated group, and they're known for this aggressive dual attack strategy.
What does that mean exactly?
They don't just steal data quietly. They get in, they pull the data out, and then they publicly advertise it. They'll post samples online to get as much media coverage as possible.
To maximize the pressure.
All to pressure the company into paying a massive extortion fee.
And what's wild is that reports link them to another huge breach at Pornhub that was announced on the very same day.
That timing is not. It's not a coincidence. It strongly suggests they were exploiting a similar vulnerability across the whole entertainment tech sector. They knew where to look.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. The technical side, the entry point. They didn't breach the main firewall or brute force the database. They got in through something called an ancillary service dashboard.
The weakest link. An ancillary service is basically any of the secondary systems that support the main platform. Think tools for content moderation, analytics reporting, customer service.
So not the main event, but a supporting system.
Exactly. And the problem is, these systems are often neglected.
Why is that? Why are they the side door that gets left open?
A few reasons. They might run on older software that's harder to patch, but more importantly, they often don't have the same strict security rules as the core database. Maybe no multi-factor authentication on the admin login, for instance.
Or they reuse weak passwords.
And maybe their network access is too broad. A compromise on a low-priority analytics tool should never give you access to the user email database, but because of poor internal design, it often does.
So this wasn't some complex, super sophisticated hack. It was a failure of basic operational security on a secondary system.
That's the hard lesson here. Your security is only as strong as your weakest link. And that link is very often a forgotten admin panel for a tool that maybe only three people in the company even use.
Which is a lesson for every business, right? If you use a third-party CRM or an analytics tool that touches customer data, it's a target.
Absolutely. It's all part of your attack surface now.
So let's talk about the creators themselves. The musicians and podcasters who rely on this platform for their livelihood, the risks for them are even higher.
They're compounded, for sure. We've talked about spear phishing, which could lock them out of their accounts, out of their careers. But there's also just the business continuity risk.
When SoundCloud went down for those 4 days, what did that actually mean for them?
Well, financially, it's significant. You lose ad revenue. You lose analytics data that you need for marketing campaigns. But more than that, you can't upload time-sensitive content. Your entire business just stops.
Looking at the big picture lessons here for IT leaders, this ancillary service problem really tells us where security focus needs to go.
It does. The first lesson is parity. All your connected systems have to be secured equally. If your analytics tool has weaker security than your main database, you have a major vulnerability.
And the second lesson.
Your incident response plan needs to be tested. The quick response was good, but the disruption to VPN users shows they hadn't thought through the consequences of their emergency plan. It eroded trust.
And this whole situation, it seems to scream for a very specific type of security architecture we hear about a lot.
It absolutely screams for zero trust. The idea behind zero trust is simple. Never trust, always verify. You treat every single access request as if it's potentially hostile, even if it comes from inside your network.
How would that have stopped this specific attack?
Well, in a traditional model, once the attacker got into that ancillary dashboard, the system might have just trusted them and given them broad access. In a zero trust model, that dashboard would only have permission to do its specific job.
Nothing else.
Nothing else. If it's an analytics tool, it gets read-only access to anonymized data, not access to 28 million user emails. The attackers would have been firewalled off immediately. They couldn't have moved sideways through the network.
That's a powerful lesson. Okay, let's pivot to what everyone listening can do right now to protect themselves. If your account was one of the 28 million, what are the immediate steps?
First thing, it's mandatory. Change your SoundCloud password right now. Even though they said passwords weren't breached, it's just good hygiene. Use a password manager to make it unique and strong.
And second, this is non-negotiable. Turn on two-factor authentication, 2FA, for your SoundCloud account. It's the single best thing you can do to prevent account takeover.
And crucially, since your email was exposed, you need to lock that down too. Make sure your associated email account also has a strong, unique password and has 2FA enabled. The email is the master key.
Good point. And finally, you have to be vigilant. You should expect to see an increase in very convincing phishing emails that use this breach as the hook.
Yes. They'll create a sense of urgency. Never click a link in an email like that. If you're worried about your account, open a new browser tab, type in soundcloud.com yourself, and check for notifications there.
For creators looking long-term, what else should they be doing?
Diversification and redundancy. It's that simple. Don't rely on just one platform. Keep secure off-platform backups of all your audio files. And maybe use a different email address for sensitive business than you do for your public profile. Limit the blast radius.
So what does this all mean? It means 28 million records were affected. It means the combo of email and public data is a powerful tool for criminals. The breach was by shiny hunters, and the way in was an overlooked ancillary dashboard.
The biggest lesson is that every single connected system is a potential weak spot.
Which brings us to a final thought for you to take away.
SoundCloud kept saying the data was only publicly visible. But we need to rethink what that term means. As an artist, you share your track list, your bio. You share that with your fans to build a community.
But when that same data gets vacuumed up and analyzed by an extortion gang?
It's not just public anymore. It's a weapon. It's a social engineering toolkit designed to trick you. So the real question to ask yourself is this. How much of your so-called public data are you actually comfortable seeing in the hands of sophisticated criminals? That's the new risk calculation we all have to make.